Hey everyone, it's Pastor Eddie from River of Life. Just want to say thank you for joining us on our podcast. Now let's get ready to hear a word from the Lord today. What does God want to speak to our hearts today? So come on, open your Bibles, open your hearts, and let's get into the Word. You ready for the Word today? Come on, let's make some noise for the Word today, for God's words. Stand to your feet today. This is Palm Sunday. We want to stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Open your Bibles with me over to John chapter 12. I had this message for like 3 weeks now, and then Wednesday I woke up and God changed the entire thing. So I'm going to minister to you today from the story of Palm Sunday. Excuse me for my voice, a little weak, but we're getting there. So in John chapter 12, I want to focus in on this, and we'll probably look at a little later on in this chapter for next week for Easter. How many's already invited somebody to Easter services? Come on, I'm gonna lift your hands. Amen. If you haven't, invite somebody. This is where some people normally don't give God a shot. We'll give God a shot on Sunday. And so no pressure on me or in the church, because it's not about us. We're just simply introducing them to Jesus. But God can do some amazing things when you bring people to the house of God. It may not be the preaching. It may be a song. It may be a friendly face from our greeters who welcome them into the door. Who knows? God does so many awesome things every week when we come together. It's amazing what God does when we gather in His name. It's just amazing. And Sunday, this weekend, Friday as well, Good Friday. Now, if we lost a loved one, we would have bereavement pay or whatever, we would make it to that funeral. Let me tell you something. Friday is the time when we come together and we remember our Lord's death. I'm going to say it like that. I'm going to push it. It is the single most important weekends in human history. Is that hype enough? It's true. And so Friday, we're going to honor and remember what the Lord Jesus did for you and for me. 7 o'clock. If you can make it, be here. And I love to see this place this full and even fuller as we honor what the Lord has done for us. But today is Palm Sunday. This is when Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, on a mule. I'll explain that here in a minute. And the people are celebrating as He's coming in for the last week of His earthly ministry. And I want to pick it up in John chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus stops, He gets off of the donkey, He starts to teach. It's what He does, is He teaches. And He starts talking, and this is what He says in verse 27. He says, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, deliver me or save me from this hour? But no, it was for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name." And then watch this. "Then a voice came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and they heard it, they said it had thundered." Did you imagine seeing that? They thought it thundered. It was so loud when God spoke audibly to Jesus. Others said that was an angel that said that. Jesus answered in verse 30 and He said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." This He said, signifying by what death He would die. So while they're celebrating with palm branches, Jesus had on His mind one of the biggest storms He was getting ready to face. And so the Lord kind of switched my message around, and I want to title this today, "The Palm Before the Storm." I leaned over to my wife, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I said, "Honey, God gave me a sweet title." You live with a preacher, you never know. Somebody got me a coffee mug and said, "Beware of what you say, it may be in my sermon on Sunday." So that is so true, but God will randomly drop things out of heaven. He'll do that for everybody, anybody that's listening. How many's ever had that guy just speak to you? Driving down the street, you see a billboard. You got to write that down. You got to remember it. And as I began to think about that, I couldn't go to sleep. I was up all night, up and finally went to sleep. Got up 3:30 in the morning. "God, what are you saying? What are you saying?" And I want to minister to you today from the storm. Because I know many of you are facing them. The old saying is you're either coming out of a storm or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Jesus was facing one of the biggest storms ever as they were ripping branches down and shouting, Hosanna. He gets off the horse and he says, I'm struggling right now because I'm facing one of the biggest storms of my life. So Lord, we thank you that, God, you've left this so transparent and open in your scriptures for us to see and understand that we have a high priest that does know how it is to be tempted in all areas, but yet overcome. We know we have a high priest, Lord, that has felt the things that we feel when we go through our struggles and storms. And Lord, as we look to Jesus today, how he was prepared and how he made it through that season of suffering, I pray, God, today that we also will remember that you are with us and receive instruction from your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead and grab a seat today. Thank you, Pastor Steve. I want to get right into this today in verse 27. Well, before you put that up, you know, storms, we have all, there's all kinds of different storms that we have. There are thunderstorms, there are rainstorms, windstorms, sandstorms. Just a couple of months ago, about a month and a half ago, we had what was called thunder snow. I don't know if you saw that. I've never seen it before, but we had snow coming down. Those of you that live in warmer climates, God bless you. But about a month and a half ago, we got a little bit of snow. We didn't have that bad of a winter this winter. Amen. It's okay. Now it's trying to, you know, do whatever it is. But I was outside in the evening time, and it was snowing out. Then all of a sudden, it began to have lightning and thunder. It was the most coolest thing ever, but it was the most eeriest thing as ever. That was this thunder snow. But we have all kinds of different thunderstorms and different kinds of storms. We also go through physical storms. There are emotional storms and there are spiritual storms. No one really likes storms. I mean, I like storms as far as I'm one of the rare people that like to see storms. I don't like to go through storms. So, Lord, that's not what I'm saying, Lord. I do not like storms. You know, you got people that's called storm chasers, like they need medication in Jesus' name. They, you know, usually about this time of year, one of my favorite old classics is Twister, right? They start showing that, and it's these guys that chase these storms. You know, they need Jesus. But I do like to see storms from a distance. I don't like to be in a storm, but I do kind of think storms are kind of cool as long as I'm not in one. But most everything in us runs from storms. Everything in us wants to hide when you see storms. No one willingly wants to go into a storm. Storms cause anxiety. Many people are terrified of storms and pets. We got a little Maltese, little Evie at home. She's just about this big. She acts like she's this big. Take her for walks, and man, she just thinks she's the biggest dog ever. But as soon as a storm comes in, she will be at your side for like 3 days, especially if we're not home during a storm and we get home. She's a completely different dog. She just is terrified. She gets so much anxiety when she has to go through a storm. And storms can come on us quicker than what we think they can. I remember one time in Florida, we were down there and my daughters were younger and we were going on vacation. As I said, I've always liked storms, like from a distance. And they were forecasting a pretty nasty storm coming in the Clearwater Gulf area there. That's where we normally go in Florida. And so we were out running around, and you could see from the distance the clouds coming. Excuse me one minute. You could see the clouds really dark, and they're coming. You see the white caps of the waves. And I said, you know, we got time before this thing hits. Let me just pull over in because I want to see it. I've been in storms on Lake Erie. I've seen them on the water, but I've never seen one on the ocean. So I wanted to kind of like see it. So we pulled into the parking lot for the beach, and it was, of course, empty because everyone was leaving. We're going in it. And it was still a long ways off, so I thought we were safe. We got out of the car, my wife, my two kids, and we're running on the beach all the way down. I'm leading the way. Good, Father. Amen. And we get halfway out, and I start saying, wait a minute, a little bit of raindrops come, and I look over the hotels all the way down the coast, and that thing is just like speeding coming across there. So I said, this thing, and I stopped, and I'll never forget, I looked down, and there was a whole flock of these little seagulls. It's like Florida seagulls. They're smaller than ours, right? All their little animals are smaller than ours, right? You ever see a Florida squirrel? Anyway, these little birds are tiny, and they're all huddled underneath the lifeguard tower. And they're just in there, and all of them are together, and they're looking at me with their big old eyes, looking at me like, what are you doing? And I'm looking, I'm saying, even the animals are high. So I stop, and I said, I got my whole family out here. It's starting to lighten, and Felicia looks up and says, Dad. I said, okay. Everybody run back to the car. I get back in the car. Rain comes down. We get into the car. I turn on the radio, and we're trying to get back home, and the guy on the radio said, yeah, I kind of missed that. It's coming a little bit faster, and it looks like it's going to be a tropical storm. I mean, it was like, whew, we really get out of it, and we got back. But storms can come, even though you know they're coming sometimes, they can still come really, really fast. And when you find yourself in the middle of a season of life or a rough time that you might have even known it's coming, you're still going to get hit with anxiety. You're still going to get hit with a little bit of fear. That's exactly what is going on in this story. Once you look at verse 27, I want to start there. This is Jesus. He knew this day was coming. He knew it since the moment he came. And he gets off the donkey, and he lets everyone shout with praise and excitement. He looks, and he starts to say this, now my soul is troubled. I want you to just stop right there and look at that word. He says, my soul is troubled. He started to get hit with the moment of, wow, it's here. It's finally here. I thought I had a little bit more time, and his disciples thought he had a little bit more time, even though he told them plainly, when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get handed over to the Gentiles. They're going to scourge me. They're going to scourge me and crucify me. And that's awful. And here he is. He finds himself in the middle of that storm that came a little quicker than he anticipated. The word troubled, just to go a little deeper with it, I want you to see this, because this is Jesus. The word troubled, actually, it's the Greek word tarasso. It means to make restless, to be anxious or distressed. I think it's important for you to see, first off, that Jesus experienced the same amount of anxiety that you and I face when we go against a storm. I think it's important for you to see that before we move on. Jesus, we get in our mind that he was all God, absolutely, but he was also all man. There was also a human side of Jesus Christ. If you pinched him, he would feel that pain. He got hungry. He got tired. He sweat. He got fatigued. He was weary. And John, it tells us he leaned out. He lay down against and leaned up against the well and sat down because he was weary from the journey. I mean, he had all of the same feelings that you and I have. And even though he knew this day was coming, he was there. And he said, let me be honest with you. I'm a little anxious. It means to also take your peace of mind. It could be used for that. Jesus is feeling the same feeling that you and I feel when you're hit with a storm. This is the same word that appears over 40 times in the book of Psalm, where David talks about his heart is troubled. His heart is troubled. He's feeling that anxious. It's the same word. It's also the same word that Jesus uses in Mark chapter 4. Look at this one. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching about the parable of the sowers, how there are different people sitting in the church. He says there are four different types of people that hear the preaching of the word. And I'll just give you one of them. It's a very good study. But one of them, he says, these are the ones when they hear the word of God, have no root in themselves, and they do not endure. Then when trouble, that's the same Greek word, tarasso, when trouble, or persecution comes, immediately fall away. He said, these are the Christians that get so excited and they come into the church world and they learn about Jesus and they're like, man, this is awesome. And they're all excited. And then they get hit with a storm. Jesus says they fall away quickly. That's that kind of pressure. That's that kind of anxiety. So what's the difference? I begin to ask, how come Jesus, even though he was all God, he was also all man? What makes the difference in some people when they can make it through storms and others, they fall away immediately when they get hit with a rough time. I know I've struggled in my storms when I get hit, but what's the difference? And that's what I got this message. The Lord began to give me some insight from this story, listen, that will help prepare you and I for the storms that come our way. First thing I want you to write down that's in this text that we learn and we look at today is Jesus knew this storm was coming, the probability of the storm. This storm was predestined, however you want to word it. But this is what I want you to write down. Storms will come. Storms will come. Knowing that storms are going to come will actually help prepare you for when they do come. If you have heard, and there are some that have taught it, that when you serve Jesus, you're never going to go through suffering, you're never going to go through a hard time. Man, that is such an erroneous teaching. Let me tell you that. It is so erroneous from cover to cover, New Testament as well. That is not what the Bible teaches. Now, we have power to overcome. We have authority from the King, from Jesus Christ. Absolutely. But know this. Jesus says you will have suffering. You will have persecution. Bad things are going to happen in this broken and fallen world. It's a part of this life. It's going to happen. Helen Keller said that this earth and world is filled with suffering, but it's also filled with people that have overcome. I'm writing this, I'm preaching this to you and teaching this to you today because I want you and I to make it through the storms of life. Even in this celebratory week, which we look at in one sense and call it Holy Week. And a lot of people practice religious sacraments and things all week, but honestly, it should be called Hell Week. Do you know what Jesus went through this week? And it's not about the sacraments. It's not about the church attendance. It's not even about the Easter colors. I got a head start today. Hallelujah. Because I'm excited. It's not about all those things that the world focuses on this time of year. What it focuses on is, what does it mean to you? Do you understand the meaning of this week? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you understand what this week represents? So that's what I've been on a mission with these messages I have prepared for us this week. And storms are going to come. They're predestined. There are three sources that storms come from. Just give this to you real quick. We can cause a storm. They're not on the screen. You can write them down. Storms come from us. We can cause our own storms. You can cause a storm by disobeying the Lord, by getting yourself in some relationship or some place or something, some commitment that the Lord has not told you to do. And you and I can cause a storm to come upon ourselves. Absolutely, just ask Jonah. Satan can cause a storm. The enemy can actually cause a storm. Look at the first two chapters of the book of Job. It was Satan that came and attacked Job physically, emotionally, and even spiritually. He took everything from Job. He took everything, everything but his wife. I don't know what that means, but in this case, his wife actually didn't help him at all. She was the one that said, Job, won't you just curse God and die? So now we know why he left her. Think about it. But they can come also, listen, God can also initiate a storm in our life to push us closer to him or to do some different things. So the most important thing, though, that I want you to write down and understand in your mind is not really where the source of the storm is coming from. What is the most important thing about a storm is your response to the storm. It's not really important to figure out, you know, where it come from. In Job's case, it passed through, had to pass through God's hand, even though it was safe. So you can get caught up into where this storm is. But what is more important when you're facing a storm is how you respond to it. What was the most important thing about Jesus is not how he felt. It was a real emotion. That was a real feeling that he had. But I thank God that he didn't run away. He was planted in his mission and his assignment. And he said, don't none go with me, even my disciples. I'm still going to go through this storm. Come on, somebody. Are you thankful he went through the storm today for you? And you can make it too. It's how we respond to the storm is what is important. Jesus taught this in Matthew 7. Look what he says in Matthew 7, 24. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. Then he went on and he said, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, who hears these sayings of mine, who doesn't hear the teachings of Buddha, doesn't hear the teachings of Allah or Muhammad. These are people that actually hear the teachings of Jesus Christ. And they don't do them, and we don't follow through and build our life on Christ. And he is not the center of our life. He says, look, storms are going to come, and they're going to beat on that house. And he's going to be like a foolish man who built his house actually on the sand. I love that, because all other ground is sinking sand, right? Anything else we build our life on, our talents, our 401k, our money, our prosperity, our whatever, if we build our, those are all good and meant to complement their blessings from the Lord, but we're not supposed to trust in these things or build our house on these things and rely on them things as our source. If we do, it's sand. And Jesus says it's a foolish man, because why? Storms are going to come. And when storms come against people, that their faith is in the economy, their faith is in politics, their faith is in their whatever, when storms come, look what he says, it will fall. And this is always so serious. And great was that fall. Building our lives on Jesus' words do not eliminate the storms, but they prepare us for the storms. They're going to come. Notice that the storms came on both houses. Whether you do the word of God, you live according to the word of God, storms are going to come. Paul said it has been granted on behalf of God for all those who believe in him, to not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his name. That's Philippians. That's a scripture you will never see printed out on a bumper sticker. Then he talks about that he was beaten with rods 3 times, and he was whipped and scourged, and he was shipwrecked. And he said, at this very hour, I go hungry, and all these things happen. He says, I don't say these things to just toot my own horn. He says, I say these things to warn you. For all those who live godly will suffer persecution. I know this is bringing an ugly feeling in this building today, but I'm here to tell you, you got to be prepared. You got to know that storms are going to come. They're going to come. This is in heaven. Come on, somebody. This is not, our citizenship is not in this world. That's why we got to know it. I don't say you plan it. No one schedules a tragedy. No one schedules a car accident. No one puts it on your calendar. But I'm telling you this, you got to know the probability of storms is very high. You and I are going to go through storms. Arm yourself. There were so many scriptures on this one point. Arm yourself, Paul says, with this mind that was in Christ Jesus. Arm. It's actually arming yourself when you know that you're going to go through a storm. But you also need to know some good news. Yeah, you're going to go through storms, but you're going to have somebody with you that goes through the storms. That's the difference. And those of you that may be here or listening online who may not be a devout follower of the Lord, you're just here for whatever reason, or someone is watching and you're in the background, I want you to know, here's the point. You're going to go through storms with or without God. It's going to happen. Now, God always gets blamed for the bad things. Always gets blamed for the bad things. But I'm here to tell you that if I'm going to go through a storm, I would rather go through the storm with the King of the universe and the Spirit of Almighty God walking with me through the fire, walking with me through the water, than me trying to fight on my own 2 feet and my own intellect and everything else I have. I'm here to tell you, knowing that you and I are going to face these storms will help us move forward. So I want to move on. Verse 27. I'm teaching today. Is that okay? Verse 27, Jesus says this. He says, so should I ask God to deliver me from this storm? Which is amazing to me, because I would. But he says, no, I'm not going to ask God to deliver me. Watch this. For this purpose, everybody say purpose. Purpose. For this purpose, I have been sent. What did Jesus understand? What do we need to know? Get some insight. Write this down. There was a purpose for the storm. Oh, man, this is hard. This is hard. And I wrestled with this point. I wrestled with this. But God began to give me some insight. But he said, I'm not going to be delivered from this, because there's a purpose in this storm. There's a purpose for this storm. You know what you'll find when you read the book of Acts, when you go through the book of Acts? They were persecuted. Oh man, they were afflicted. Everybody was coming against them. They were murdered. Many were martyred for God, for their faith in Christ. Read the book of Acts. They were running, even through the early church history, all the way through the first couple of centuries. Rome persecuted the Christians like in an ungodly manner. They would make them fight lions in the Colosseum, and they would kill them and martyr them, right? And brought that as entertainment. One of the Roman emperors would actually kill Christians, and this is graphic and gruesome, but it's true, and would light their bodies to light their garden parties. I mean, Rome was they just hated anyone. And it wasn't because they were good moral people. Here's why they martyred them. It's because they wouldn't bow their knee and worship any other god. That's why they were persecuted. It wasn't because they were good moral people. There's a lot of good moral people in the world. What matters to God is if we are rooted and grounded in the faith and we say, no matter what, God, only you is who I'm going to worship. Only you I'm going to bow my knee. Only you, God, is who I'm going to serve. If that's you giving praise today, come on. That's why they persecuted him. That's why they persecuted him. But you'll also find there's not one time that the early church prayed that God would deliver them from that suffering season. Instead, they were saying, God, let us find the purpose. Use us. Stretch out your hand and let us do miracles. Even Paul and Silas in the jail, they weren't asking to be delivered. They just begin to worship and praise God in the middle of their storm. And as they begin to praise and worship God, the Bible says everybody was watching to see how they're going to react. You know, sometimes God will put you in a storm just to see how other people around you are going to see how you're going to act. The enemy looked at Job and looked at God and said, let me have 5 minutes, God, and this Christian is going to deny he even knows you. And God, knowing that he was Job's everything, said, go ahead and try to take his everything. But he lost because God was Job's everything. And he tried everything, and Job said, I'm not going to lose everything. I'm going to worship you, God, through the storm. Paul and Silas did, and the gates were open, and they were delivered. So purpose, and I'm going to look at this. Is there any good purpose for, like, storms? So I looked up this thing from the National Hurricane and Weather Center, and Jonathan Beals writes that actually there are 5 things that hurricanes do for the earth that is necessary and good. And then the first 4 are actually prophetic. It's amazing how this coincides with scripture. And I love, because Jesus used storms, the Bible used storms so many times. In the book of Job, it actually says God spoke to Job out of the storm. It wasn't just euphemism. It was a type of the way God speaks to us through the storms. It was Elijah's storm and battle of anxiety and depression that brought him out. Because miracles aren't going to bring you out of a storm, but the voice of the Lord will. It's not always the supernatural things that we look for. It's the little things. But I began to look at these things, and I said, wow, this is amazing. You know, hurricanes and tropical storms, the first thing they do is they bring correction to the ecosystem. Storms bring correction to the ecosystem. They break up bacteria and red tide from Gulf coasts. They oxygenate the surface waters, helping return life to the areas where the red tide once was. They bring correction. This is, if you're taking notes, you can write down a correction storm. There are storms that God will cause to bring correction in our lives. You know that it's actually true. Ask Jonah, as I said earlier. God will allow things, a storm, to come in our lives because he's wanting to reset us. He's wanting to bring correction into our lives. David knew this more than anyone. In Psalms 119:67, he said, before I was afflicted, before I went into a storm, I was going astray. Do you know when you study in the scripture and you look at how gullible sheep are, it actually is an insult that Jesus would compare us to sheep. Do you know sheep are the most gullible animals that we have? But yet Jesus likens us as sheep. Have you ever heard of a Judas goat? Do you know what they do, how they get lambs led to the slaughter? You ever hear that? It's good seeing you in church today, Richard. You know why lambs, how they get lambs to give their lives and be slaughtered? There's this animal called, it's a goat. It's called a Judas goat. Lambs will follow anybody. Sheep will follow anybody, even a goat. So they will have a goat that will lead these sheep and just start walking, and these sheep will begin to flock behind this goat. And as it gets close to the slaughterhouse, a little door opens and the goat goes this way. The door closes and the sheep keep going and they get slaughtered one by one. It's called the Judas goat. I read this article how a sheep was following, was lost, and it was wandering. And so all these other sheep begin to follow this one sheep. All these other sheep begin to follow this one sheep. Is that right? And the one sheep falls off a cliff. True story. And 100 sheep begin to follow it right off this. They are the dumbest animals ever. Do you know you and I are the same way? The Bible says we all have gone astray, each his own way. We do that almost on a daily basis. One of the ways that God corrects the sheep is he gives the shepherd a staff. Do you know that staff isn't just to hit wolves? That staff is actually to get the attention of some sheep. And I read this article, in the most extreme cases where sheep just refuse to follow the shepherd will actually get the lamb and break its legs. I know it's painful and it seems so harsh, but what I love about that story and that analogy or truth is actually when the shepherd does that, the shepherd puts a dent on its shoulders during its entire time while it's healing. So the shepherd and the sheep begin to get close, and the sheep begins to trust its master, even though it's been through a very difficult and painful season. Every day from the time it gets up in the morning, all day through its walk, all evening, they are right on the shoulder of the shepherd, and they're learning to trust in their shepherd no matter how things look, no matter what goat comes their way, because their shepherd loves them and has a plan for their life. And when that sheep begins to get strong enough, the shepherd puts it down and puts it down. And I read this, that many sheep that have been through those kinds of storms or experiences now becomes what's called a lead sheep and knows better than to go off a cliff and will actually learn not to follow a goat. And the other sheep, God can use that sheep to bring, oh, I'm preaching better than you responded this morning. So if you're going through a storm, you need to get excited of not what you've been through, not how you're feeling, but what God has prepared for you. Sheep will follow goats. Paul said, or David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Look at this. Hurricanes also provide heat balance to the globe. One of the main purposes for hurricanes around the globe is a temperature balance between the poles and the equator. So a hurricane actually brings balance. I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. Your Bible says the Apostle Paul, one of the godliest men we know, because of the abundance of revelation that he had received, he went to heaven. And what he saw in heaven, he said, I'm not even going to tell you what I saw because there'd be some fruity doctrines for the rest of time. Thank God he didn't write that down. He said, what I saw was things I don't even understand, and it's actually forbidden for me to even tell you what it was. But then he says this, because of the abundance of the revelation and the anointing of my life, I begin to get my life out of balance a little bit. I begin to become one of these super apostles. And so what God did is he allowed a messenger of Satan. He allowed a storm to come into my life. Why? To bring balance into my life and keep me from being exalted above measure. Ooh. Because God will mature us through storms and not through miracles. Oh, hallelujah. It's a protection storm. You have a correction storm, you have a protection storm. Let's keep going. Here's another one. I was reading this guy, and he says also it replenishes islands. He says without tropical storms, our smaller islands would eventually shrink and sink into the ocean. They actually build up these islands that are all over out there in the Caribbean waters and the like. This, I was reading it, and then what this does, these hurricanes come, and they have so much power, they suck the sand off the bottom of the ocean floors, and they bring them up through these tropical cyclones, and they carry them across the ocean and drop them onto these islands, and it makes the islands wider, and it builds them up through their sand, and it makes them even stronger. Whew. storms. I'm trying to understand and see the purpose of some of these storms that we face in our life. Faith only grows when it's tested. I mean, everything was great. When I first got saved, it was like, I mean, I got saved. When I got saved, I got saved. There was something that changed on the inside of me. Everything I saw was different. The sun was brighter. The sky was bluer. The grass was greener. I literally had that experience, my salvation experience. I was a different human being. I was going into work differently. I was just on cloud nine. I was in what Sister Lambert, who's with the Lord now, used to call, Eddie, that was the honeymoon stage. She says, when you're in that honeymoon stage, Eddie, ask for the moon because God, you'll have the faith to get it. Well, she was telling me that there's also some storms that's gonna come your way, brother. And sure enough, man, I began to hit those storms. And I remember that feeling begin to fade. I remember asking my pastor, I said, Pastor, you know, he talked about the Lord and all that. And one of the few conversations I was able to have with him, I said, you know, this feeling I had about serving the Lord, man, just feels like I can, you know, charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, I'm so excited. Does it last forever? How long does it last? I said, will it always be there with me? He says, it can be. He says, but more than likely, you're going to lose it a couple times. See, you can't live in the season of revival. We think revival and the moving of the Spirit is always in fire and all these great miracles. Let me tell you, there's also these seasons. And here this week, I want to just bring this message. And I know it's different for Palm Sunday, but I want us to go a little deeper than the hype this morning. I want us to go a little deeper than waving palms and wearing pastels and screaming and having Easter eggs. I want us to see the meaning of this week. Jesus says, man, I'm about to face the most difficult season of my life. And I'm going to do it to help you because you're going to face these difficult seasons in your life as well. And I like what Sarah said last week. If God can do it, I can do it. And I'm showing you today as I get there, these storms help build us up. And the last thing I saw that really paralleled with Scripture is these storms will change the landscape. Now, this is where we always see the damage to storms. And again, they're not exciting. I'm not saying you should pray for a storm. No one does that. No one wants these things. But the Scripture tells us to rejoice in the suffering. James tells us rejoice through trials. This is why, because these are working things in our life. They're building things in our life. They're building strong muscle. They're building our faith. Our capacity is being stretched. And it changes the landscape. In other words, we are different after the storm. If you go through, some storms are, there's different magnitudes of storms, right? Some of these big ones, they will actually name. They will name these storms, like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Andrew, Hurricane Ian. Now, they don't do that for a thunderstorm. They do it for a major storm. And I looked up, what is the qualifications of naming a storm? And this was the first one. If they change the landscape. And some of you have been through some storms, that's a name on that one. You put a name on that one, a divorce, a tragedy, an unexpected loss of a job, this or that. I mean, then you put a name on that bad boy. That is a storm, but look at what happened. It will change the landscape. It will change everything. You will be a different person. When you go through a real storm, when we go through these big storms, we are different. You will pray differently. You will worship differently. You will even have compassion when you no longer had compassion. If you go through a storm, it will change everything about you. It will bring change. And then here's this other thing. Sometimes you and I don't understand why we go through storms. Sometimes we're not going to get the purpose of a storm. I don't have the answer for everything. And the Bible doesn't give us the answer to everything. And I thank God for that. It's hard to do that. But later in this chapter, Jesus begins again. He's thinking about his death. He's thinking about being handed over to the Romans. And again, that being scourged and whipped and crucified. I was looking this up, and as far as I know, and I've done a lot of studying on this, I know for a fact Jesus was the only Jewish rabbi that was ever scourged, and crucified. But there's hardly anyone, I couldn't find anyone in history that had both. Because usually when you were whipped, it would kill you. People didn't survive it because of the infections. It was brutal. It was awful. A Roman scourging, a Roman whipping was everything. The closest thing I've seen that I think is right on the money is actually that movie, The Passion of the Christ. I think he nailed it with that one. Mel Gibson, he did his research. Mel Gibson, I don't know where he's at with the Lord, but he got that one right. You look at that, that's exactly what Rome, if you look it up, that's exactly what happened when Jesus was whipped. He was getting ready to face that. And he was getting ready to do that for you and for me. Think about that. And he was crucified. He was getting ready to face that. And he's telling his disciples that he washes their feet there in that chapter. And he's talking about being betrayed. And he's saying all of these things. And then Peter looks at him and he's having a problem understanding the purpose of the storm. He's having an issue. He's saying, Jesus, I don't understand. I mean, I'm down with it, making it stronger and bringing balance. And okay, that sounds really pretty. But man, this one right here, Jesus, I totally miss it. There's even scriptures that you're supposed to overthrow Rome. And you're saying you're not. Are you contradicting the scriptures? Lord, I don't understand. You said that I was going to be blessed and highly favored, that you were going to be with me in the fire. And I know you're with me, God, but Lord, where's the end of this thing at? Have you ever been there? That's what they're asking Jesus. And I love this verse. And you and I need to know this verse and lock it into your heart and lock it into your spirit. Jesus looked at him in John 13:7, and he says, Peter, what I am doing, you do not understand at this time, but you will after this. He says, Peter, you don't understand it now. You don't understand the storm. You don't know the purpose right now. I can tell you, I've been telling you for 3 years to prepare you. And now it's upon us. And now it's here. And now you're wondering what's going on. I'm telling you, you don't understand it now, but you will after. What is he telling them? And then Jesus begins to teach him about abiding in Jesus. Listen, his last message that he taught his disciples was to abide in him. He is the vine, they are the branches. He repeatedly went over and talked about branches must stay in the vine. Why was he doing that? He was preparing them for the storm. Let me tell you this message today. Let me tell you this season today. Wherever you are, this is your first Sunday or whatever's going on in your life. Let me tell you something, you gotta get planted. The first scripture I showed you is when storms come, they quickly fall away. They are those that hear the word of God. They start to grow, but storms and persecution hit, they quickly go away. What's the difference? You got to be planted. I love Psalm. It's not up there on your scripture, up on the screen, but Psalm 92:12. God said, I will make the righteous like a palm tree. And I love the palm branches and the analogy and all that, because what a palm tree does, it's different than our oak trees here in Michigan. If you go to Florida and in these tropical climates, you see palm trees everywhere. Why? What's the significance? A palm tree is designed to withstand hurricane winds. That palm tree will lean all the way over and even touch the ground during a hurricane and during a windstorm. It will come, I mean, it will coconuts and everything will fall off, but you know what will happen when that storm's over? That palm tree will begin to go right back up the way it was. Jesus, hear me today. Jesus said, that's how I'm going to make the righteous. That's how I'm going to make my people. Not those who hear one Sunday and do whatever they want, but those who will get planted in the word of God. Those will say, I'm planted in the house of God. I'm planted in the word of God. I'm planted. I don't understand the storm, but I'm planted in the storm. You may fall all the way over, all the way to the side, and people looking at you, I know, I've seen them before. I said, for sure, that thing's not going to make it. We were recently in Florida, and we went through this area, and they get hit with hurricanes, and you can't even tell they've ever been hit with one. They had a red tide just 2 years ago when we were down there. It was bad. You couldn't even breathe in the air, and now you can walk outside and walk the beach as if it wasn't even there. You know what brought it out of there? A storm. A storm will bring it out. So how do you stay planted? I'm going to give you this last point. Jesus knew the storm was coming. Storms are going to come. It's not a negative confession. It's life. This is a broken world. I'm not going to lie to you and say that you're not going to have difficulty, because you are. But I got good news for those that are in Christ. You can face the storm with the master that can calm the winds. But you're going to be in it. You got to go in it. You got to walk those hospital halls sometimes. You'll get it. But I'm here to tell you not to discourage you, but to encourage you, because God, number two, has a purpose for these storms. And even when you don't understand the purpose, you got to learn. That one song, I was looking at the lyrics. We talked about learn to trust you. You know, learn to trust in Jesus. I love how it's worded, because that's exactly how you trust him. You learn to trust him. You don't just get trust the day I get saved. When you come down to this altar, it's not like we get the little pin out from like that one movie, Will Smith, the aliens. You know how he makes that light and it just makes you forget everything you just saw? What's the name of that movie? Men in Black. Don't you wish you had one of them? You come to the altar and Gary and Glitz just says, okay, look at that. And you forget all your struggles. You leave out of here going like, what, man? What diagnosis? What were you talking about? You just forget all you. That's not how it works. Before you get back to your seat, you'll hear a voice. Ain't nothing changed. Maybe it'll wait till Monday after you wake up in the church and everything's over and you don't have Steve and Lindsay and the worship team. No one's singing, and all of a sudden you get that little pain back. See, it didn't work. You didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's just some words you're saying. Jesus don't love you. See, what's happening? The accuser of the brethren is coming at you is what he's doing. That palm tree is going to begin to go. God is allowing it to happen because he wants to know if you're going to get rooted. For those that say, devil, you can come. I like one time Jesus said, the God of this world is coming for me, but he's got nothing in me. And then that storm begins to come. Then that storm begins to let up. So how do you get planted? And I looked at the voice. I love that part of the story we read. Could you imagine sitting out there with Jesus and all of a sudden a voice comes out of heaven? It was so loud they thought it thundered. God was like, this is my son. I mean, it was like thunder. It was. They thought an angel or something spoke. And I began to look at that. And I said, you know, God only spoke audibly to Jesus three times. And here's my last point. That was a promise. You will endure through the storm because of the promises that he has with the storm. And what God was doing was giving Jesus a promise by that audible voice. And as I watched that, I read that, and it said that he spoke from heaven and said, I will glorify you. I began to do research, and God only spoke to Jesus three times audibly. And you know what? It was every time. It was before he went into a storm. He was baptized in the water. He was in the baptism tank. And the Bible says a voice came out of heaven and said what? This is my son in whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And then he goes into the wilderness and he is tempted by the devil for 40 days. The second time he's on Mount Transfiguration and the voice comes from heaven and he says, this is my son, hear him. In other words, I am with my son. I'm confirming that this is my son. And what did they do? They talked about his death. He came down off the mountain and he went into a big fight with the Pharisees because his boy didn't get healed. And he starts talking about his death again. He's going into the storm. And then this third one, he gets off the donkey and he starts talking about his soul is just filled with anxiety. And he's feeling the stress of what's getting ready to happen. And a voice comes from heaven and says, I will glorify it. And the Lord began to speak him this message. And these are the three promises that I want to give you for your storm as we begin to close and the worship team comes and I want us to pray. These three voices comes at all three times of a storm, and it's this, that he loves you. When you go through a storm, listen, he loves you. He was telling Jesus, I love you. I know you're going through the storm. I know it feels like your legs are broken. I know this feels like a difficult time, but I want you to know, this is what I'm going to tell you. I love you. And I love it because Jesus didn't perform one miracle yet. And God says to him, this is my son. I love him. Second one, he says, I'm going to be with you. And the third one is this one. I'm going to bring glory out of this storm. I don't know how he's going to bring glory out of some of these storms. Paul, getting back to him, when he says the enemy has come, this messenger of Satan has come, I asked God to take it away three times. I said, God, take this thing away from me three times. I'm tired. I mean, I'm in this storm. And God said, I'm not going to take it away from you because that's how I show how my strength is made seen and visible through your weakness. Paul shifted his perspective and said, now I will glory not in what I overcome, but I will glory in those seasons of suffering because God gets the glory. God gets the glory because I'm making it through storms when otherwise I would collapse. But people see me still standing and see me walking. And when that palm tree begins to lift back up, I go, how did they make it? Because God designed it that way. And God gets the glory through these storms as we walk through it. Romans 8:28, last scripture. Let us stand to our feet as we close. Romans 8:28, I love this, and says, and God will cause, everybody say cause. God will cause all things to work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to the purpose, his purpose. We know the story of this week when Jesus was facing that storm. We know what happened. The disciples didn't at the time. They didn't know what was happening. And maybe you're in that season of Palm Sunday, you know, that day, and you don't understand what's happening in your life. But I just want you to know that God has a purpose for it. God is with you for the storm. Don't run away. Don't quit. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus loves you even though you're going through the storm. He said, you know, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord led him out to be tempted by the devil. But he was able to fight. He was able to fight because he knew that God had loved him. You know, fast forward to this story. When they came and arrested Jesus, the Bible says before he went to the garden, a woman came at Mary's house in Bethany. He was having lunch, and a woman came in, a sinful woman, and broke a jar of alabaster oil perfume, very costly, and the fragrance filled the room, and she washed Jesus' feet in this very strong fragrance, fragrant perfume. It is believed that stuff stayed on Jesus the rest of the few days, even when they arrested him. When they arrested Jesus and they were pulling the beard out of his face and they blindfolded him and they were mocking him, they could all smell that beautiful fragrance of the alabaster jar. And it said someone must have really loved this man to spend that kind of money on the fragrance and put on him. So every time they would whip him and beat him, and that odor, that fragrance would fill the room. I pray, oh God, every time we feel like the enemy's coming against us, we're so full of your love, God, that it just purifies, it just spreads through the whole room. People know that we're making it through, oh God, because we are loved by you. I don't know who this message is for. Who am I preaching to today? Who needs this message here today? Who's going through a storm today in your life? And you say, man, I need this message. I need God to speak to my heart today. I want to pray for you today in this building. Just lift your hands to the Lord. I'm in a storm, in a storm, in a storm. Amen. Hands everywhere. Amen. Hallelujah. You can put them down. You can put them down. Those of you that are at home, you can respond to this as well. In a minute, our altar team is going to come. In fact, let me go ahead and have the altar team come. In just a minute, I have you come and pray. I want to first throw that net out for you that may be here that need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As the altar team is coming up, if you're here and you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you haven't surrendered your life to him. You may be in the church, but you're really not in the body of Christ. And I want to give you an opportunity. This is a great day to say yes to Jesus and surrender your life to him today. If you're here today, we say, this is my day, Pastor Eddie, pray for me. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. Will you raise your hand right where you are in this place and say, pray for me, Pastor Eddie. Today's the day I want to receive Christ in my life today. Lift it high if that's you. Lift it high. Pray for me today. Hallelujah. Anybody in this place today, those of you that are home, if you need Jesus today. All right, rest of you that's going through a storm, we're going to sing one more song. I want to invite you up to come and get some prayer. If you need prayer, if you're going through a storm, or if you need prayer for anything, that's what this altar team is here for, to pray for you. I want you to get prayer today. Let us anoint you with oil. Some of you might need it. Some of you need hands laid on you, but get some prayer today. I want you to know that God loves you. He is with you. He's going to get glory from this storm in your life as he did with Jesus. So as we sing, if you need prayer, I want to encourage you to come up. This is what we do at church. Come and get some prayer. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.